There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on holiday. This is podcast number 364, July 26, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, we love our Northern California Rotax Challenge. And of course, here we are in Hungary. It's a beautiful day.
Just outside of Budapest.
Which is a wonderful place.
Yeah, watching this weekend's show, it's like going, it'd be a fun place to go watch a race, I think.
Absolutely, and I think the next company picnic for F1 Weekly will go to
the shores of the Danube.
Exactly. There's nothing more threatening than staring at the Danube. Thank you. So, qualifying, your thoughts on the build-up to this Grand Prix?
Interesting to see how things were shaking out. We, you know, okay, is Braun going to be able to regain some of its form? You know, our
big question.
Huge question. And then whether or not Ferrari and McLaren are going to be able to leverage their gains in Germany into this race, and whether or not Red Bull can stay sort of on top as they have the last couple of races. So very interesting to see. Very interesting build-up. And then you've got the whole Jaime Alguersuari thing with the kid running his first race, and you know, half the paddock going, he's too young, and the other half going, hey, good for him. You know, it's like, so made for some build-up. And then this track is always kind of a little funky because it's kind of like it's kind of like Monaco with all the short, tight turns. But unlike Monaco, it's a dirty track. And if you get a little bit offline, you can be in a lot of trouble in a big hurry. So, and a couple of drivers really like this track, and a couple that really don't. So
yeah, and that's been the case for years. If you've had success here, you usually like it. But of course, those who've had nothing but misery,
a la Jarno Trulli,
exactly,
do not like this track.
So let's go right to qualifying Q1, and real quickly, Adrian Sutil crashed in the morning practice.
The final practice, yeah.
And his car was being worked on as qualifying started.
Yeah, trying to put the thing back together, put the whole front end back, to put the pieces in place to get Adrian sitting in the car going, okay, press the pedal. No, turn it the other way. Yeah.
And, of course, the big story is McLaren topping the timesheets Friday and Saturday. Obviously, they've made some progress. Whether this really translates to race day, we'll see, but obviously McLaren has made some great progress. Some parts were actually shipped overnight. I mean, updates after updates.
From what I understand, the Lewis actually got to run a different nose than
Mr. Kovalainen.
Than Kovalainen, because they'd only had time to put one of them together in time for the race, and that they flew that one in on Friday afternoon or something. So McLaren really pushing to get stuff done and to improve the car. And it's going to pay them some dividends.
Of course, and let's not forget that they're still running KERS this weekend along with Ferrari.
The Scuderia.
The last teams to even bother BMW is pretty much thrown in the towel.
As has Renault. I think in Toyota, I don't know, I guess they ran it in the first race or two, but kind of let it go. I think for both of those teams, I think McLaren sees it as a distinct advantage, and I think Ferrari doesn't want to have to take the time to rebalance the car by taking it out.
And I think McLaren has got probably the best curve system on the grid.
Certainly seems to be the one team that is truly given benefit to.
Absolutely, and they're comfortable with it.
Yeah, and the drivers have been using it to great advantage. We were watching, they were showing a lot of time of Heikki Kovalainen's track time during the qualifying, and basically you see where he was using it. He was using it all on the front straight. He was using it down into the first turn and then using it coming out of the last turn onto the home straight. So seemed to be giving them a little bit of help, and then as the race goes on, we'll see that it does bring them a bit of benefit.
Indubitably. Let's go right to Q1. And very interesting. Everybody hits the track pretty quickly by 10 minutes to go. We've got Kimi Räikkönen, Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Nico Rosberg, Lewis Hamilton in the top five. 5 minutes to go. Adrian Sutil finally getting in the car and ready.
Really only got one hot lap in the session. And actually is only 6/10 behind, or 6/100 behind his teammate, and ends up qualifying in 18th. So we have out in the first session the BMWs, who just can't seem to buy pace, period. They having trouble out-qualifying the Force India cars. So Nick Heidfeld's out in 16th. Giancarlo Fisichella qualifies 17th. Adrian Sutil, 18th. Robert Kubica, in what amounts to his home Grand Prix, because this is the closest race to Poland, qualifies 19th, and then in 20th, and not unexpected, Jaime Alguersuari. But you got to figure his first time out, he's taking it a little bit easy to make sure that he keeps the car on track.
Exactly, and I think that's the right thing to do. Take it easy. Who cares if you start the race last? Finish the race with a whole car.
Yeah, ultimately, I think that's more important for him. Is
absolutely
get laps. Because that's going to make
a
difference
for
you.
Don't try to impress the big shots.
Well, the big shots have basically said the reason they want him in the car now is to prepare him for 2010.
Of course.
So we'll give the kid some credit. And he actually ends up having a good day tomorrow. So,
wow, it's amazing how you can see into that crystal ball, Steven.
Ooh, it's so fun to look into.
That is absolutely
wonderful. So fun to look into the future.
Exactly. Now, for me, the big story is Nelson Piquet, P5, and Fernando, P6. Nelson Piquet.
In the first session.
Yeah, the fire is under the culo.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem to buy him a whole lot because it doesn't last very long.
I know, but I'm trying to encourage the young man.
Yes. After his performance this weekend, the rumors are going to be swirling. You know, they're going to have 4 weeks to beat this dead horse about his not being in the car after this weekend. But let's carry on. Very scary moments towards the end of the second session. Felipe Massa going down the back stretch, as it were, on this track, suddenly just straight lines it into the tire barrier, and we're all kind of confused. Well, did something break? What happened? Replay showed that from the back of Ruben's car, a spring weighing about just under 2 pounds hit Felipe Massa in the head.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking static 2 pounds, but when there's velocity added to this thing...
Oh, it's insane. What would they say? Was it like 1,600 pounds or something like that?
It's not good. When you start doing the math, you can go into a deep depression rather quickly.
Because he's doing about 160 miles an hour when this thing strikes him. From what they say, it struck him in the helmet just above the visor. Thank God, because, you know, 3 inches lower and it's kind of game over. Felipe's basically knocked unconscious. He does manage to put some brakes on so that he ends up getting the tire barrier only at about 60 miles an hour, but still a heavy impact. He's pretty much still in the car. Took them quite a while to get him out.
Delay in qualifying.
Yeah, the third session was delayed by over 20 minutes. Felipe ends up in the helicopter on his way to the hospital. We're happy to report that he is in stable and condition, but in intensive care. He basically ended up having to have emergency surgery to relieve pressure on the brain, which is not unusual considering the type of impact he had on his skull. And he will probably be in the hospital till at least the middle of the week, if not longer. Kind of questionable as to whether or not he will be back in a car this season.
He will not be back in the car this season. My prediction, of course.
The only race I could see him making it for would be Brazil.
Exactly. I mean, this reminded me a little bit of... it wasn't as severe as the Cristiano D'Amata when he hit the deer. And that was brutal. And, of course, it caused more damage. But still, the talk is always positive about coming back to racing. But I think Massa will be out for the season.
Yeah. Small outside chance. I know that it's not really an injury that you can compare, but there was a baseball player who was struck by a hit ball early in the season, almost the same spot, and he's healthy, bouncing around, but they won't let him play.
Right.
Basically because they want to make sure that the skull heals and that there's no residual damage before you start. It's going to be 6 weeks probably before they even let Felipe do anything strenuous.
Absolutely.
To get his heart rate up. So.
Absolutely. So go ahead and... right now in Q2, okay, I know we had a lot of that was pretty traumatic with Felipe Massa, but my shock is Braun struggling. You see Braun struggling, not being able to get to pace with what's going on here in Hungary.
Again, another week where it seems like they can't get one of the tire sets to work for the car. Period. Not quite as warm as everybody expected it to be, so maybe that's part of it. But out in the session, Felipe Massa. Makes it into Q3, but does not run a lap. Out in the session are Sebastian Buemi in 11, Yarno Trulli in 12, Rubens Barrichello in 13th, Timo Glock in 14th, and then Nelson Piquet in 15th. The Toyotas seem to have some decent race pace, but they can't qualify for crap.
They are not good. Well, Yarno Trulli usually qualifies better than Timo. Timo needs to get to grips with qualifying. And that's still an issue for Toyota. But both Toyotas being out in Q2, which is surprising. Nelson Piquet, not a surprise. And, of course, Rubens Barrichello, that was not good.
No, definitely not good. Not something that this team can afford at this point in the season. They're already falling back precipitously within the point standings for both. He's already been displaced and is already down to fourth. And his team is falling like a rock in the point standing. So, not a good day. Not a good thing for Rubens. And ultimately, he ends up putting down a time that's almost a second, about a half second slower than his teammate, which is not good. There's no reason that he should be that far behind Jens in a qualifying session.
Right.
Though part of that too is that I don't know that he ever got his fastest lap because his car fell apart. And so I think that may have been an issue is that he never got his hot lap towards the end of the session because his car came apart basically while he was on that lap.
Once again, the Rubinho karma persists.
Yeah, this guy really, amazing that he's run as many races as he can, as he has, but the fact that this season particularly, his luck is just horrid.
Well, number twos usually have bad luck, Stephen.
Yeah, it's because the witch doctors in the back of the paddock for the team are putting all of the bad stuff, trying to pull it off number one and put it on number two.
Pixie dust, Steve.
Pixie dust?
Hmm. So once again, as we stated earlier, Q3 is delayed for about 20 minutes. Finally, it does get underway. And, the drivers have been sitting in their cars waiting, and you sort of lose your focus.
Yeah, you lose a little bit. It kind of breaks your rhythm, too, because you, kind of get into that qualifying rhythm. It's in, get tires, get out, get in, get tires, get out, and, basically run through your routine. And that's been disrupted, which it seems to affect some more than others. One guy who really kind of takes it hard for this because of what happened to his teammate's car. Rubinho's car falling apart. The FIA and the stewards are all over the back of Jens' car, and Braun going, "This isn't going to happen again, is it?" And Jens, I think, only gets two hot laps in the session. Only end up with one hot lap in the session. So two things for him in that he doesn't burn off as much fuel as he planned, and two, he doesn't qualify very well.
No, but on the other hand, he's got a lot of fuel, so he's going to go deep into the race.
Or so he hopes.
I mean, that's all he can do.
Yeah,
it's good. On the other hand, he's having tire. A lot of teams are having tire problems here.
Yeah, the hard compound you just really can't get to work, And then the softs are going off really quick and are coming apart or very difficult to drive on after about 10 laps. So should be interesting for the race.
And of course, the worst part about Q3 is towards the end when the excitement comes, especially for moi, the timing goes completely wacko.
It disappears.
Nothing. You don't even know what's going on.
Which is too funny because basically we've got Fernando at the top of the timesheets and have got four, five, six cars coming across the line after him and we're like going.
And I'm sitting here with the champagne bottle going, open or not? Open or not.
And it was actually a little bit entertaining because you see the guys get across the line and they're in Parc Fermé and Fernando's walking around. Anytime somebody stops, gets out of his car, he goes, What was your time? And just trying to figure out who's going to be going up to the interview.
He's got
room.
A calculator in his hand. He's going, okay. You know, it was pathetic, but apparently there was a cable that got severed. And come on.
Ooh.
I thought we were wireless.
Do we have? We now have F1 terrorists sabotaging in the background.
So there you have it. But
much to Clark Rogers' joy and excitement,
well, I've got joy down in my heart. Yes, Fernando Alonso. I don't care how late he is on pole position for the Hungarian Grand Prix.
He is on pole.
I'm a happy person. Flavio is a happy person.
And Nelsinho Piquet is going,
Mamma mia.
Daddy, go talk to Flavio for me again, okay?
Yeah, give him a couple more checks.
But
who's out?
Fernando gets P1. And behind him, which makes Clark Rogers even more happy, because yet the Renault shows up two more times. Sebastian Vettel qualifies P2, Mark Webber P3. And then, kind of the dark horse in today's race, or in this weekend's, that was really bad choice of words, wasn't it? Dark horse. Lewis Hamilton qualifies P4.
You could have said the black sheep of the family, but you didn't. No. It's all good, Steve. We're innocent people here.
But the Nico Rosberg, having a good qualifying session, qualifies P5. Heikki Kovalainen in 6th, Kimi Räikkönen in 7th, Jensen Button in 8th, and Kaz Nakajima in 9th. Then Felipe Massa, as we mentioned before, did not run in the session because Felipe Massa was probably just about already at the hospital by the time this session ended. And it was determined probably not even an hour after the end of the day that he would not be racing.
Absolutely
not. Set on Sunday.
Absolutely not.
And not surprising after seeing, you know, the gentleman get hit in the head by a 1.5-pound spring.
Absolutely. And Ferrari decides to just run Kimi Räikkönen, no Marc Genet or...
Or whomever the reserve... Is Genet the reserve driver for Ferrari
this
season?
They have two reserve drivers, Marc Genet, and the other one is Luca Badoer.
Yeah, Luca. So one of those two we'll probably get to see in Valencia in a month.
Well, the other big talk, of course, is Schumacher coming back.
I suppose it's possible.
It's not going to happen. He's 4 years old. His super license has expired.
Yeah, and timing is, you know, it's not going to...
He's never even driven this new car, so...
That would not be a good thing to get him in the car. But
even though I know with his skill and experience, he could probably be...
He would be competitive.
Absolutely. Schumacher is a Schumacher.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Michael Schumacher is a Michael Schumacher.
Be careful about how you use those terms. So we shall see what shakes out over the next couple weeks, because we're pretty sure, I agree with you that odds of him getting back in the car this season are probably slim to none. I think there's maybe an outside chance that they could get him back in the car for Brazil, but, well, Brazil isn't the last race this year, is it? It's Abu Dhabi, so probably not.
Yeah.
I don't see them bringing him back to run in Abu Dhabi. I think it would be too risky, ultimately, to do that. So on to Sunday, a lovely day in the Hungarian countryside.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful day. It's sunny.
The water park is full of children.
If you say so, Stephen. A glorious day. Renault
on pole. It's always a glorious day when Renault's on pole.
And I'm pretty happy, you know, giggling. But, of course, everybody's talking about strategy. And they're also talking about Lewis Hamilton with Kurz.
On the start.
A great start. He can actually get by everybody and go into turn one ahead. That is the talk in the paddock.
Yeah, well, it's basically the talk is the three KERS cars in the top eight, I guess it is, and what they're going to mean to the start, because, you know, they're basically all two row or more back. And, you know, once they get past that 60-mile-an-hour mark, they're going to get that boost. And what's that going to mean for the guys out front and they're being able to get away and keep the KERS cars at bay? Will be interesting to see. Should be fun to watch.
Absolutely. And everybody's pretty pumped up. This is really pretty much the center of Europe, the Hungarian Grand Prix. So you get, viewers from everywhere attending this race. It's vacation season. So you get the Greeks, the Baltics.
You basically Finland. You get the Eastern Europeans coming in. You get the Northern Europeans coming down. You get the Westerns coming east, and then the Southern Europeans coming up. You know, it would be a really fun crowd to be in just because of the diversity. It would just be a blast, and it's fun watching the crowds. And I saw one point where they were showing the crowd, and they started to get a little crazy, and you could tell it was a group of about 10 Spaniards. Up in the crowd, whipping out the Oviedo flag and jumping up and down, having a good time.
That's great stuff. So let's go right to the race. The lights go out, and Fernando Alonso has a very good start. Vettel, on the other hand, super slow, sort of screws up Lewis Hamilton's attack.
But the real talk of this start is Kimi Räikkönen just bulling his way through the field.
And, of course, he's got KERS. He's slapping around people, and including Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, and ultimately this incident. Start for him and the incidents involved have basically put a cloud over Kimi's race, because right now it's in the hands of the stewards. I checked just before we started the podcast and saw nothing actually had come of it yet, and it doesn't look like he's going to be penalized, which to me is a good thing considering the fact you've run this entire race. If you can't induce a penalty during the race for an incident of this nature this early in the race,
why mention it?
Let it go.
Thank you. Exactly.
If anything, fine him or something.
You know? Sebastian Vettel actually falls to P7 because of a bad start.
Yeah, well, a couple of things happened to him. He got bumped by Kimi once, and then after they got through the first turn and were on their way to the second turn, Kimi bumps him again, and he completely loses pace and ends up falling back, and then couldn't get back into the flow of traffic, so to speak, to get anything going until five other cars were in front of him.
And Jenson Button has a terrible start. He falls to P9. By lap two, he gets past Kaz Nakajima. Mark Webber is trying to hold off Lewis Hamilton. And we've got Fernando Alonso, Mark Webber, Lewis Hamilton, Kimi Räikkönen, and Nico Rosberg. Nico doing a fine job in the start.
Yeah. Mark Webber, give credit to some credit to Mark Webber, because Lewis actually got him coming out of their first turn. And Mark Webber was able to get him back before they got into the second turn. And I'm thinking, and just watching the way the KERS works, what I think happened is that Lewis ran out of boost. And that's where Mark was able to overtake him and get him back going into turn two. Because they get theoretically 6 seconds worth of the extra power. And so I think basically Lewis ran out of juice and Mark was able to get back on him.
And on lap second, Adrian Sutil goes into the pits. Some kind of mechanical problem. We don't know what it is. Fast lap of the race on lap two is Fernando Alonso with 125.176. Fernando to Mark Webber is 1.2 seconds. Lap three, Fernando Alonso, fast lap of the race, 124.436. Lewis Hamilton pushing Mark Webber, doing an outstanding job with keeping up with the Red Bull. And, of course, he's got KERS, push, 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 push to pass.
Yeah, it gives him a little bit of an advantage. We'll see Fernando Alonso put down fastest lap for probably the first 6, 8, 10 laps until Lewis finally surpasses him I think Mark Webber actually gets the first fastest lap after Fernando, and then we see Lewis Hamilton throw down a couple. But Alonso's getting away. He's starting to put a little bit of distance between himself
and Mark. Which is very impressive, even though we know he's light on fuel.
Well, we know that he's got to make some kind of... He needs to build a gap if he's going to make the strategy work.
Exactly. Lap four, Fernando Alonso, fast lap of the race with a 1-2-3-5-2-9. Lewis Hamilton pushing the button, passes Mark Webber for P2 on lap four, lap five, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton, excuse me, Steve, but Fernando only had four laps of fast laps. Lewis Hamilton said, I'm taking over. 1-2-3-2-18. Lap six, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton with 1-2-3-2-0-7. Keep up the good work.
And he's slowly beating the real Alonso in.
And all of a sudden, I'm just sitting there scratching my head. This car was a dog. Lewis Hamilton came out saying he was embarrassed to be in the car. It was a piece of El Crapola.
And his dad's going, well, we're going to move. We're going to another team.
Yeah, we're going to go over to Braun, you know. And all of a sudden, this car is just mind-blowingly quick.
Yeah, it's a fascinating how well they've done as far as getting pace back into this car after what amounts to a pathetic start to the season. Some of that was because of the fight they were in up until the end of the year, but still, the fact that they've been able to regain so much pace in what amounts to, three races, they've basically gone. Britain.
Silverstone was pathetic. He was 19th.
Dead last. And then he would have probably have competed for the podium at the very least in Germany had he not cut the tire on the first lap.
Exactly. Lap 8, Fernando Alonso showing some rear tire
degradation.
Exactly, which is really problematic. And he's light on fuel. I'm stunned that this is happening. Lap 9 is Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, Mark Webber, Kimi Raikkonen, and Nico Rosberg. Lap 9, Mark Webber puts in the fast lap of the race with a 1:23.190. And, of course, Lewis Hamilton is keeping pace with Fernando Alonso. He's dealing with the dirty air. There's not much you can do. So he's just following as he should. Very impressive for the McLaren. Lap 12. Fernando Alonso pits. 6.4 second stop. He goes with the softs. Comes back out in P9. And that's when they investigate.
They mentioned that he's going
to be investigated post-race results.
And some of the excuse that was given for some of the reason for that was that the replays were not clear as to whether or not he was forced, basically bumping Vettel because he was basically avoiding hitting someone else or being hit by someone else.
Which is logical, which really confused me because when I hear a logical decision from the FIA stewards, I'm really thrown aback.
Exactly. It kind of freaks you out. And we're watching Alonso begin his lap, and they go to the onboard camera, and it looks like one of his wheel spats is spinning.
Sloppy. Yeah.
And we're like, what? What's going on here? And they went to a side shot, and some sparks flying out of it, and then, poof, off goes the spat. Not too much longer, two more turns later or so, the wheel starts to wobble off, kicks off, hits the side pod, and rolls off to the guardrail. So now poor Fernando's set to run about half a lap with three tires.
Not only that, but the 49 Dom Perignon went back into the cave.
Back into the cool.
Yeah, so I was just blown away by Renault usually having a good pit crew.
And what is it? What is it with wheel nuts on the Renault in Hungary?
It's a curse.
It's weird.
It's a curse. They didn't use the holy water as I...
You didn't use the bottle that you fast-forwarded to them to bless the car prior to the race.
Nobody listens to me, Steven.
You left that at the Renault factory when you were in France last week, didn't you?
Exactly what
Please,
I
get
did.
This to Flavio and Fernando for the race in Hungary.
Nobody listens to me, ever. Lap 13, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton with a 1:22.868. And there you have it. Lewis Hamilton just doing McLaren, very impressive. And of course, I don't want to talk about Heikki Kovalainen because I believe this guy will be out on the streets by the end of the season.
He
just cannot compete.
Yeah. Well, the thing is does McLaren want a driver that can compete in the second seat?
But at Ron McLaren? Dennis always says it's.
But it's not Ron Dennis running the team anymore, so. Yes, but I would agree with you. I'm thinking 50-50 chance that Heikki comes back next season. A lot of it will depend on how he races the rest of the year. He was a lot better in this race than he has been all season, which could be related to the fact that now he's finally got a car that can actually compete. And I think he was, early in the season, really trying to push too hard to be competitive in an uncompetitive car. That was kind of the downfall for his early season.
Lap 16, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton with a 1-2-2-4-7-9. Fernando Alonso goes back to the pits because apparently there are some damage to the car, and he is out.
Yeah, he's done for the day. That's that's two retirements so far.
Fini.
Him and Sutil. Terminado. And you know, I think when Fernando went in on the Fox broadcast, they were in commercial because the first I saw it was is they showed Kubica in last with Alonso and Sutil out, and I'm like, going, when did Fernando go back in the pits?
And you know what? Real quick commentary. So I start watching. I had watched the race online, BBC, but then I watched the Fox coverage. They go to Fernando is pulling into the pits,
and they go to commercial.
It's a tape delayed race, so they know what happens. They know that's not the spot to put the commercial in, but the hot dogs must sell, Stephen.
Who knows what's going on with that?
You know, Bizarro.
I think they tape it at the time of the race and then go back and chop out stuff to shorten it up.
Yeah.
But you'd think that they would have...
significant stuff in there?
One would think.
No, but they don't because they know and underestimate the intellect of the viewer.
Well, they're used to dealing up to... Never mind.
Lap 17, Lewis Hamilton, Mark Webber, Kimi Raikkonen, Nico Rosberg, Heikki Kovalainen, Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button, Kaz Nakajima, Yarno Trulli, Nelson Piquet Jr., call me that when I'm in a good mood, are the top 10. Lap 18, Kaz Nakajima pushing Jenson Button. Jenson Button and the Braun have lost their mojo.
Yeah, big time. Kaz is basically really really hounding Jens and keeping him on his toes because he makes one little mistake and Kaz is going to be right past him. The Braun has fallen off enough that now it's barely competitive with the Williams. Williams is a good chassis. Well, all the chassis are pretty good this season considering that you're looking at really what amounts to a second and a half gap from top to bottom. But still, basically going from dominating to fighting with what amounts to the number five team, not good for Braun. Their upgrades that they supposedly brought with them this week not doing the job, and then we thought that they had so much, you know, pace in the bag when we left Spain. Doesn't seem to be the case.
Quick reminder, Stephen, I know you're going to find this very hard to believe, but BMW, the ultimate driving machine, they're in Formula One. Remember?
Yeah, well, considering the fact that they're barely competitive with Force One India.
Pathetic.
Just
sad. For Germans,
yeah.
I say no more strudel for anybody in the pits. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Lap 18, Nick Heidfeld pits from P13. And, I mean, it's the quiet team now. Not very well spoken about.
Well,
not spoken about at all.
You don't hear them.
They don't even listen to their radio comments anymore.
I can't even recall the last time that I've seen them interviewed during practice or during qualifying. You know, nobody even talks to them anymore.
It's a sad state of affairs.
From a team that was on the verge of breaking through last season, somebody dropped the ball going to the 2009 car because they are just...
At the end of this season, I believe Mario Tyson's job will be in jeopardy. Somebody has to take the blame.
Yeah, ultimately. It's either that or you're going to see, you know, one of his top two subordinates getting the axe.
Lap 19, Mark Webber and Kimi Raikkonen pit. Mark Webber released.
That was scary.
Into the Ferrari. I know there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and there was
these guys are highly paid professionals.
And there was a bit of
confusion.
Some shenanigans going on with the car at the last moment that I think distracted the lollipop guy.
He took his eye off the pit lane
and completely missed the fact that Kimi was going to be right beside his driver when he
There were only
him.
Two cars in the pits.
Yeah.
The one bright red one is what they were supposed to be looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have to set up a big mirror, you know, one of those convex ones. I mean, I'm sorry. And I think fines should be levied. These are safety issues that need to be taken care of.
That is really one that needs to be addressed because that's... You know, again, these teams have got money up the yin yang in most cases, so a fine is really nothing, but at least it makes the point that if you're going to make that kind of mistake, to me, that is an avoidable mistake, unlike what may have happened to Alonso's car, because for all we know, the wheel nut guy thought he had the tire on. But to release the car into the pit lane when there's somebody already there, That to me is a major, is a and much a, larger infraction.
And it's a very narrow pit lane in Hungary. So, And what I don't understand is really, I think Red Bull just got a little too nervous here. And of course, Kimi Räikkönen gets by Red Bull in the pit lane, which is crucial.
If they hadn't had that bobble, they probably wouldn't have lost the spot. But I think they were rushing to try to get him done and out so he could get out ahead of Kimi, and it just wasn't to be.
Exactly. Nico Rosberg pits, Lewis Hamilton pits on lap 20, goes with the softs, and it's a 10.3 second stop. Lap 21, Heikki Kovalainen pits, Sebastian Vettel pits, and of course, Robert, who am I driving for, Robert Kubica pits as well.
Yeah, there have been the rumors about, you know, possibly Nico Rosberg going to BMW Sauber, but BMW might be looking for two drivers because they'll probably end up, you know, sending Nick Heidfeld on his way, and Kubica may just bail on him.
Not only that, but I don't think BMW is too happy with Kubica. He's really been super inconsistent, complaining about the car from one setup to the next. I don't know. I think Kubica's got some issues in terms of technical input, and it's very inconsistent, and we'll see what happens next year. But
he's
still.
Probably, you know, having a hard time thinking with the diet they've got him on to keep him so light.
That's true. But then that's been a forgotten issue when it comes. Well, they've dropped Kurs. You won't see a BMW with Kurs ever again. Lap 22, Kaz Nakajima pits, 9.4 second stop. Soft tires comes out in P15. Nelsino Piquet comes into the pits on lap 23. And on lap 24, we've got Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button, Yarno Trulli, Kimi Räikkönen, Timo Glock, Mark Webber, Heikki Kovalainen, Nico Rosberg, Sebastian Vettel, and Sebastian Buemi round off the top 10. Lap 25, Jenson Button pits, 8.7 second stop, goes with the soft. Giancarlo Fisichella, as Jenson Button's coming out, gets by him, and it's just one more car for Jenson Button to deal with.
Yep.
You could just feel the frustration.
Oh, definitely, because he comes out behind Rubens, but then immediately, because of his tires basically are cold, loses the spot to Fisichella. Tough day. Lap 27, Buemi pits, and we hear Sebastian Vettel on the radio to his pit going, guys, I think the car's broke.
I can't control the car.
Yeah, and watching his onboard camera after he tells his pit crew that he's doing a hell of a job driving that car if it's as bad as he appears to say, because he's pretty much keeping up with the guy in front of him, but you can tell he's really fighting it, and there's the car's giving out kind of smoke. And
it's dragging. It looks like rear suspension, but it really turns out to be front suspension.
Yeah, he goes back in. They whip out, they put a new nose on because they think that maybe there's damage there that's causing a problem, but he's back in after another lap or two, and his day is done, which is really sad because, you know, that's ouch as far as points go, because this is going to be his third retirement, and those points are going to come
fourth
back.
Fourth retirement.
Those are going to come back and haunt him in the championship race.
That makes the big difference in a team that's out to really capture the world championship. You've got to have finished races. DNFs are absolutely brutal.
You need, you know,
ask Felipe Massa.
1 point, 2 points, 3 points are significantly better than the goose egg, the zero. You know, Mark Webber has a great race, ends up doing quite well. I think, I don't remember, did Jensen manages to score 2 points today, but still.
That's the crystal ball working against, Steven.
Yep. Lap 28, Jaime Alguersuari pits.
Exactly. Alguersuari, first pit stop in Formula One, clean.
Clean. Good. Perfect. Good pit. Kid's putting out having a pretty good day. You know,
absolutely. Not killing people.
Not making mistakes.
No David Coulthard swinging lefts and rights.
There was one point in the race where he was in the way, and he promptly moved himself over and let the guys that were racing by as to not, you know, pull a David Coulthard and think that he's fighting for position when he's, you know, a lap down.
Absolutely.
So, good job, Jaime.
Lap 29, Giancarlo Fisichella pits. 6.6 second stop. Goes with the soft compound. Sebastian Vettel returns to the pits. Good news for Jenson Button. Vettel has retired from the Grand Prix.
But doesn't matter to Jens. He's on the radio going, these tires are going off.
Yeah, he's got a lot of whining and complaining going on because it's not the car that it used to be, and everybody is passing him up. But he's still in the lead championship-wise. Vettel is now retired. He's only got to worry about Mark Webber.
Yep. He really doesn't have to worry about Rubens.
No. Rubens is taken care of in more ways than one. Nelson Piquet holding up P10. Lap 30. Keep up the good work, Nelsino. He knows his job's on the line. I think he's gone anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time. He didn't do anything ultra impressive this weekend.
He's not capable of doing anything spectacular.
You know, he would have had to, one, finish in the points. He would have had to have finished, I'm guessing he probably would have needed to be in the top eight for sure. He would have had to score a point. The higher the better, but even that seems to be beyond his reach. He apparently does not have daddy's fast gene.
Exactly. Lap 31, Timo Glock pits, 7.7 seconds stop, soft tires, comes out in P7 behind Rubinho. McLaren have put it together. Lewis Hamilton doing an outstanding job, and dependable, fast, good grip, managing the tires, keep up the good work, while Braun are really miserable right now. They know they're still in the lead championship-wise, but we've got 9 races to go.
Well, they're close to getting another bad race. They're going to be in panic mode. And basically, they've got 2 of these 4 weeks to kind of figure out what's going on, if they can, because during the break, 2 of these weeks, factory's closed.
Yep.
Don't know whether that means people can't work from home, but factory's closed.
There's probably some sneakiness.
I would tend to guess that anybody who works software or works on a computer is going to be able to keep working. It's basically the guys who actually cut material who are going to be kind of stuck.
Exactly, those machinists and CNC operators.
Yes, they'll be off to the Côte d'Azur to lie on the beach and get some rays.
Exactly, lap 33, Rubens Barrichello pits. The last driver to take the pit, Kimi Raikkonen holding on to P2, doing a great job. Ferrari is improved tremendously.
Yeah, again, we saw them with some pace in Germany, and they've carried it over to this race. And Kimi is racing like he cares this weekend, and maybe he's basically trying to put down a good effort for his teammate, who's probably watching with his eyelids closed.
Correct. Yes, he's in an induced coma for 48 hours, so he's not watching at all. But they might have the TV on in the room for some kind of osmosis. But you never know. So there you have it. Keep up the good work, Steven. I like the open mind. Lap 36, it's Lewis Hamilton, Kimi Raikkonen, Mark Webber, Heikki Kovalainen, and Nico Rosberg in the top 5. Lewis Hamilton to Kimi Raikkonen is a 6-second gap. Lap 37, Lewis Hamilton back in the 122s. He is not letting up at all, and we certainly do appreciate it. Lap 38, Kimi Raikkonen, fastest in Sector 1 with a 29.7-second sector time. Very impressive. Kimi Raikkonen is very awake this weekend and really working hard to stay and to grab this podium.
Yeah, he's trying to drag Lewis back to the field and see if maybe he can actually catch him. Doesn't look very good, but he is actually at this point in the race lapping faster than Lewis is. But I think Lewis, with a 6-second-plus lead, is pulling back a little bit, trying to save his tires a little bit and take it easy on the engine for various reasons. So, should be interesting.
Lap 40, Sebastian Buemi, right before the pit, he loses it in turn 2, loses time, and that costs him a position against Jaime Alguersuari. And so, keep up the good work, Mr. Buemi. Kimi Raikkonen now catching Lewis Hamilton, really pounding in the laps. Lap 41, Nelson Piquet Jr., call me that when I'm in a good mood, needs to get by Jenson Button to save his arse.
Yep. Good luck.
It's not going to happen. Lewis Hamilton, lap 43, fastest in Sector 1. Both of these guys, Kimi Raikkonen and Lewis Hamilton, really pushing hard 3 quarters into this race. Lap 44, Heikki Kovalainen pits, 8.1 second stop, and comes out in P6. Heikki Kovalainen, another one who's really working for his job. Nico Rosberg is going to be going on the market. Very attractive for Mercedes and McLaren.
Oh, yeah. And BMW, too, is looking. He's been talked about going to BMW also. So you know, he could write his own ticket pretty much for next season, especially since there will be no budget cap.
Exactly. There you have it. Lap 45, Kimi Räikkönen pits, 11-second stop, fuel to the end, goes with the hard compound, which is the soft compound compared to the super soft compound, and I really wish they'd get all this.
I seriously wish we'd go away from two tires. The two-tire compound stuff doesn't... It's muddying the race.
And they thought it would bring excitement, but it doesn't.
No, it actually... the problem being is that if the two cars aren't on the same tire, then there's no excitement because one's running away from the other.
Exactly. He comes out in P4. Lewis Hamilton pits on lap 46. He goes on with the hard compound, 8.3-second stop, and he stays in the lead. Very significant.
Very significant because that's going to make the difference.
Well, that's it.
Down to the end.
His last pit stop. He's in the lead still.
And he's not. And he's in the lead.
He's not making mistakes.
Yep.
No kablamos from cars anymore. That's the past. It's over with. I mean, you haven't seen a big kablamo in a long time.
So we just jump to the end?
Huh? What? Exactly. Lap 47, we've got Lewis Hamilton, Mark Webber, Nico Rosberg, Kimi Räikkönen, Timo Glock, Heikki Kovalainen, Jarno Trulli, Jenson Button, Nelson Piquet, and Kaz Nakajima in the top 10. Lap 48, McLaren and Ferrari are back. I've decided, yes, once again, the pendulum as it swings has swung a little earlier than I expected.
Just a tiny bit.
We'll see what happens in the next race. We've got a break here, but this means... You know, I know people say that everybody's going on vacation, the doors are shut. Poppycock. Development will continue. People will be working behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Especially when you've made this much progress. I expect McLaren and Ferrari to be even stronger in Valencia.
Exactly. They'll just move a couple of other machine tools off-site so that they can continue to work during the break.
They'll call it Bob's Machining.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know what's going on over there. Lap 49, Nico Rosberg pits from P3, goes with the hard 6.7-second stop. Nick Heidfeld, who drives for that company called BMW, the Forgotten Ones.
The ultimate driving machine.
Yes.
The ultimate racing machine.
He pits from P10, lap 50. Mark Webber pits from P2, soft 7.4-second stop, comes out ahead of Nico Rosberg in P4. Very, very significant. Keep up the good work, Red Bull. They're doing an outstanding job. Lap 52, Robert Kubica and Jaime Alguersuari does his last pit stop clean and definitely doing a fine job. And once again, BMW is the quiet company of this race. I think Force India was spoken more about...
I think I only remember them coming up once. Heidfeld was... leading a short train at one point. I think he was in P13 at the time or something of that nature.
Yeah.
And that was really the only time that they came on the radar screen.
It's so bad, Steve, that I heard that from the hotel to the track, they're not even driving BMWs anymore. They're driving secondhand old Peugeots.
At least they're using a neutral car.
That's what I heard. You know, I could be wrong, but... that's what I heard. You never know. Lap 55, Jenson Button pits. Goes with the hard compound. 56, Kaz pits from P8. 58, Rubinho pits from P8. And, of course, that was the points-paying position that Jenson Button was in. Rubinho was hoping to stay in, and it just didn't work out.
No, and he puts himself in a position where he's going to be hard-pressed to get back to it. Because when he comes out, he finds himself behind Nakajima and Trulli, I believe.
In P9.
And is never able to catch either of the other two to get the points.
Exactly. It's a sad state of affairs. On the other hand, Toyota is doing a pretty good job in this race.
Well, Timo, at one point, is second in this race. And is actually keeping up with Lewis Hamilton. But he's still going to make another stop.
But still, I'm impressed because... at least Toyota is showing some pace, some consistency. They've come back from dreary days, from filling the front row from one race to ending last in the other race. Today they did a pretty good job in a tough track, much better than BMW, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely a solid performance from Toyota. Again, this is a car that, it's weird because when it does qualify well, it races poorly. When it qualifies poorly, it races well. What's going on here?
Yeah, and they seem to match the Ferrari's pace. Team McGlock was doing a great job. So a lot of inconsistencies at Toyota, but at least they're showing some pace during race day, which is critical. Lap 60, Timo Glock pits. Mark Webber is now flying. I was very impressed. He was in the 122.481, which is just a few thousandths off the fast lap of the race.
Yeah, and it ultimately ends up getting it on lap 65.
Exactly. With a 121, yeah, I mean, he was on the pace, and it was inevitable.
Well, once he got back on the soft tires, he had pace. And that was really kind of, you know, a lot of people questioned maybe their decision to go with the hard tires in the middle stint. But frankly, it's a coin flip because you know you're going to have to run at least one stint eventually on the hard ones. And whether you save them for the last stint or you start on them,
I concur.
You know, he ends up finishing well. And I don't think that if he runs the middle stint on the softs, the outcome is any different.
I agree completely. Lap 61, Lewis Hamilton, 16-point second gap to second place Kimi Raikkonen. And on lap 62, Rubens Barrichello, who's stuck behind Kaz Nakajima in P9, they're on the radio. They're telling Rubinho, por favore, we need the P8 at least.
Yeah, you need to get past him. And watching the Williams, he never had a chance. There was never an opportunity. I think if Kaz even made a mistake, he probably wouldn't have been able to capitalize unless it was something that took him off track.
I think it's when you got to fight dirty. Cut the chicane.
Yeah.
Do something.
Or, you know, get up underneath him. And
yeah, cut the chicane, crash in him. You know, do something, Rubinho. It's your last year in Formula One anyway.
Yes, make us enjoy your racing.
Exactly. We want to see what the four-legged one would do anyway.
He didn't see him in any of the press releases after the race. I'm surprised. I would have expected him to have been ranting.
And whining.
Ranting again this week.
La, 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 la,
I could have won this race.
No, he was over it, though.
I think Ross said, if you're seventh fastest in the race, shut your yap.
La yapata. I understand everything. Lap 63, Jaime Alguersuari ahead of Sebastian El Buemio.
That was that
spin.
That little off that Buemi had really comes back to bite him.
And not only that, but Franz Tost can just go, oh, I know everything. I know how to.
I'm brilliant.
Yes, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So there you have it. Lap 64, Nelson Piquet is in P12. And you can see Flavio in the background already with his briefcase. And that, you know, those little pillows.
You sure he wasn't, you know, whistling Romaine over to go?
No. He had his briefcase and that little pillow that you put around your neck for the airplane. He had it on. He was out of there. He was. Lewis Hamilton, fastest in Sector 1 on lap 65 with a 29.3. Mark Webber answers back with fastest in Sector 2 with a 29.5, then fastest in Sector 3 with a 22.8. And sure enough, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 121.931, and that was the only driver
to get below 121.
To get below 122.
This car is ridiculously fast.
It's very
quick. This car has been fast. This is the one car on the grid right now that's been fast all season. You know, they should have had a podium in Australia that Sebastian Vettel managed to race himself out of.
Once again, Vettel needs to learn, don't hit other cars. If Kimi Raikkonen is close by, go to the outside.
Yeah.
Because Kimi Raikkonen seems to be becoming the David Coulthard of old. Hitting people from Bourdais to Sutil.
I think it's a little bit of that rally racing he's been doing.
You think so?
You know, a shell around you, you're a little bit more aggressive.
Well, not only that, but the car he drives in rallying is the Fiat Abarth Punto. Excuse me?
Let's punt somebody off the racetrack.
So everything is appropriate deep down inside. Let's just go right to lap 70 because there are no changes. Rubens Barrichello cannot do nothing.
Nope,
you cannot. Jenson Button settles for P7, gets a couple of points. Two points.
2 points and seven.
And there you have it. Lewis Hamilton wins the first podium and race of the 09 season for the current world champion. A great P2 for Kimi Raikkonen, who really was awake and really tried really, really hard for his compadre.
He had a really good race.
He did.
Considering, you know, basically the stress around the team. Probably a little bit of extra help on the team because you've got the extra bodies that can help out. little extra input instead of having someone else to worry about being raced against. An excellent race for Weber, considering the fact that, you know, basically he ends up losing out to two Kurz-equipped automobiles and manages just a really good race for him. It's going to put him in second in the driver's standings. Going to put him a couple of points ahead of his teammate. Let me see if I can find.
And let's not forget, this is the first win for a kinetic energy recovery system car.
And it's the first time that the winner's not been a Red Bull or a Braun.
All year.
All season. So basically that gives Mark Webber, jumps him four and a half points ahead of his teammate now. 18 and a half points behind Jens and Button.
So, okay.
And if Jens keeps running, you know, if Braun keeps running races like they're running, they're going to be hard pressed to hold him off.
It's not Jensen's fault. I think Braun, as a team, the development at the beginning of the year, which really was 50% or 80% Honda inspired during.
Well, basically, it was free engineering. And
It
was 18 months worth of development in the first package.
They can't match that anymore.
And they can't keep that same pace. No. Now we're back to kind of Honda-esque development speed. And
we saw
what happened with Honda cars during the regular season. They really never got a whole lot better.
Well, not only that, but you've got a small Braun team now going up against big guns.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking 50 calibers here, Ferrari and McLaren. Eventually, you're going to start losing out.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
And again, they can't really even compete with Red Bull because Red Bull's deep pockets too. So we finished with Lewis Hamilton winning the Nagy 2000.
I can't Grand say
Prix.
That.
Yeah, Nagy.
I just go Flickerflockel.
Okay, the Hungarian Grand Prix 2009. Kimi Raikkonen finishes second. Mark Webber for Red Bull Renault in third. Nico Rosberg, excellent finish for Williams Toyota in P4. Heikki Kovalainen gets fifth. Timo Glock, sixth. Jenson Button, seventh. Yarno Trulli, eighth. Rounding out the points-paying positions with Nakajima outracing Barrichello. Heidfeld outraces Piquet. And Piquet outraces Kubica. Fisichella.
Losers!
Finishes 14th. Jaime Alguersuari finishes 15th in his debut, outpacing his teammate Sebastian Buemi by close to 10 seconds. Not finishing.
Tenths. 10 seconds?
10 seconds. 20, wow. No, eight seconds, sorry.
Okay, there you go.
My glasses are a little bit fuzzy.
I know, I got a little fog.
On that little, that narrow point. Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, and Adrian Sutil do not classify. And so now to the points standings. Jenson Button now leading with 70. Mark Webber in second with 51.5. Sebastian Vettel in third with 47. Rubinho in fourth with 44. Followed by Nico, Yarno, Felipe, Lewis, Kimi, and Timo to wrap up the top 10. And then in the constructor standings, Braun Mercedes points lead is down to 15.5 points. They have 114 with RBR with 98.5. Ferrari with 40, Toyota with 38. McLaren Mercedes gets a big boost, jumping up to fifth with 28 points. Williams Toyota in 6th with 25.5, Renault with 13, BMW with 8. So BMW's done something at least during the season because they are outpacing the Scuderia with 5.
Keep up the good work, Steven. Quick announcement. Due to the mistake in the pits by Renault, Renault has been suspended by the race stewards for the next Grand Prix in Valencia. That would be Fernando's people. Of course, Renault has confirmed that it will appeal the FIA decision to ban the team from the European Grand Prix for the events that led to a wheel coming off Fernando Alonso's car. This is totally ridiculous.
Yeah,
what happened?
Ultimately, I think
it's a mistake.
It's a mistake in the pits, and I think it's a little bit of an overreaction by the stewards to
the 13.
It's not like the Honda's running with an empty fuel tank. You know, in the car, to me, it's not worthy of fine.
It's not cheating.
It's a fine would make more sense to basically penalize a team an entire race because of a mistake by one of the mechanics. Is just to me that's overkill.
Not only that, but they should look at past
Look at what the precedents. What the precedents are for
yeah, exactly.
those kind
like
of mistakes.
Law, for law is yeah. Adjudicated. I mean, look at what happened to Ferrari in Singapore. I mean, safety concerns everywhere with the fuel line being ripped out. There were no suspensions. This is punishing the viewers, the people of España.
Who have bought their tickets.
Thank you.
Primarily to see yes. possibly Fernando run and be competitive, frankly. And now you guys are going to take that away.
I agree.
I can't see. God, I hope it doesn't stand up because to me that's just wrong. It's
wrong.
Overkill.
It is overkill. I totally, totally agree with you. So there you have it. Of course, now we're going to be having a break real quickly, even though Formula One takes a break. F1 Weekly certainly does not. And I'm handing Steve the forum quotes for the Hungarian Grand Prix.
Wow.
It's not too many. People are getting lazy here.
Yeah, well, I think we didn't have any really big things happen last race when Mark Webber won his first one. We had like two pages.
I know, but we got Felipe Massa in the hospital. So it was Hamilton's first win of 2009. Yeah. So Fernando Alonso loses a wheel. I mean, come on.
Hey, Sin writes, the old days are here again with silver and red cars to the fore and the Red Bull making up the podium. Bronze lack of development since they were Honda shows. Webber shows that experience is no handicap against the young Wunderkind. Quite a long way to go yet, though. Ye writes, a McLaren win from a Ferrari. We got spoiled. With the excitement of the new names and new winners, looks like normal services are being resumed. Chicago 1313 writes, yes, the cream always rises to the top. Too bad the season is far too far along to do something about the standings. Like I said in another post, Jenson Button is undoubtedly feeling the heat. No more cakewalks for Braun. And our old friend Autoracer 5 writes, thanks to there not being a good stream on the net, I went to sleep on lap 23. Guess I'm watching it on Fox then. Best luck to Mark Genet, since apparently he's replacing Massa. Thoughts and prayers are with Massa. That accident didn't put a spring in his steps.
Of course, that's more subliminal messages from Autoracer 5 as he's communicating with his underground
Resistance.
Yeah, and you've mispronounced Mr. Sin,
I apologize.
There we go, Steven.
My Gaelic just isn't up to standard.
Well, there you have it. So we'll get some lessons going in. So there you have it, Steve. Very exciting. I want everybody to stay tuned for the midweek show where we'll have all race results from this weekend with Motorsports Mondial and Mr. Nasser Hamid, who's probably on the beach sunbathing in beautiful
and compiling his list of this weekend's winners.
Absolutely. He does this all on the beach.
Under right his umbrella with his...
Sarsaparilla, and he's right there in Santa Cruz in front of the boardwalk. So keep up the good work, Stephen. Thank you very much. Thanks for all the listeners that listen. From Steve and myself, good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. Thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.